Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Joe Reeves, with Inverse.
Welcome to Inverse, and thank you for joining us again this week. We have viewers from all over the world, and we welcome you from wherever you're watching. And those of you that are watching, we have viewers that are watching in many different seasons of life. And maybe this is a very happy time in your life. Things are going great at work, at school, with your family, your relationships, and your life is filled with joy. There may be others that are watching. It's a season of sorrow, of disappointment, of delay, like the story we are getting ready to study from Scripture. Wherever you're at in life, we hope that you are growing in your relationship with God, which is our study this season. And you can watch all of our past episodes this season at hopetv.org/inverse. And you can catch up to all the great things that we have been studying this season in Inverse. And you can read our Bible study guides at inversebible.org. Inverse is a Bible study with friends and with you. And I'm glad to be joined today with Paul, who is going to be reading for us and bringing great insights. Thank you for joining us again, Jemima.
Happy to be here.
And also RJ.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So we are glad to study together. Oh, I think this study of practical prayer and this story from the Bible is going to bring up some interesting questions, maybe some difficult questions about God and prayer and how it works. And I'm excited to learn from each other and have the Holy Spirit guide us in this study. Paul, could you pray for our study today?
Absolutely. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of prayer, the privilege of prayer. Lord, we thank you for being a God who hears prayer. Today we come to you as we open your word to send your Holy Spirit to guide us as we study. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we are going to an Old Testament book again. This is the book of 1 Samuel, and it's the first chapter. And the story has a lot of tension. It has a great result, but it comes through times of pain and sorrow and waiting. And Jemima, why don't you read to us about it from 1 Samuel chapter 1, the first 8 verses.
All right. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zupah, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?
Great job. I was excited about you reading all those Old Testament names.
Oh, I struggled through
and,
that.
That was a great job. Thank you. We are beginning in a story with a lot of tension. What is she feeling? What is she experiencing, RJ?
I mean,
reading
she's feeling
about Hannah.
Yeah, a lot of things. I mean, she's facing, you know, barrenness. You know, she can't have children. She's facing deep sorrow. I mean, even in a polygamous relationship. And it's just, I mean, she's just going through a lot right now. She's just been going through a lot right now.
And it can appear in a lot of different ways in her life. But this is going on year after year. She feels trapped in these circumstances. Maybe you feel boxed in by something. And that's why we're thankful for some of these stories that are so relatable from the scripture. She also feels a sense of shame and failure. Have you ever felt like a failure in life? And so this is not going well for her.
And I think for me, I think the hardest part for me is that the Lord had closed her womb. right? Mm. So it is the same God she's praying for, but it seems like there is no answer. There is no response from the Lord. Mm-hmm. So she's being faithful, going up every year, bringing her offerings, bringing her praise, bringing her prayer requests to the Lord. But it seems like God is silent.
Mercy.
And the question that came up to me is, would I be willing to go to God consistently if that was my lot in life? Because typically what I see in my own life is that when things are not going well, or when God is not answering my prayers in my time or in the way that I want, I withdraw. I stop offering the sacrifices. I stop doing the disciplines of talking to God consistently. And I don't even bring to God my grief anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm looking at Hannah and I feel rebuked, you know, in my own life.
So from her perspective, it's feeling like God is silent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there she is year after year.
What Hannah's feeling is a sort of microcosm of what Israel is feeling. If you read the book of Judges, which is Hannah's story comes kind of at the end of this time of the period of Judges. It really feels like God has been silent. God's people have sort of turned away from the Lord. The Philistines are marauding, raiding Israelite fields. There's great oppression from foreign invaders. But more than that, inside the camp, the priests themselves have been committing all kinds of sins, and God seems silent. Eli's sons are committing adultery or fornication with the very women who help out at the sanctuary. This is a great atrocity happening in God's sight, and God seems silent. Mm-hmm. So Hannah's prayer is weighted. It's not that, not only that she is barren, Israel itself seems to have to bring deliverance into the world, and they say, we have birthed heir. Mm-hmm.
So she is tempted to give up on God. Mm-hmm. She's tempted to let this relationship with God wither on the vine.
Yep.
I mean, that's when we're in these kinds of experiences, circumstances, that's our temptation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But Hannah continues seeking the Lord year after year. Mm-hmm. So this story seems very applicable in a season of growing in a relationship with God when we may be going through something like this and tempted to withdraw, but there's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. God still has something for us.
Yep.
Maybe we should keep reading where it goes, where the story goes. Paul, would you read, pick up in verse 9?
So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Mm-hmm. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. Mm. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Should I keep going? No.
That's good. So she's coming, and now she's misinterpreted by the pastors and church leaders. She's judged by her community.
Isn't it very interesting that there doesn't seem to be a lot of prayer going on in the sanctuary? Because when Eli sees actual prayer being offered,
oh wow,
he can't tell if that's prayer or something else. Evidently, God's sanctuary had so deteriorated in worship that instead of prayer, there was atrocity and intoxication. He could identify intoxication more readily than prayer, which adds another layer of dimension that Hannah knows that Eli's sons, the priests of God, are committing heinous crimes in God's name, in God's sanctuary, and she chooses to come to that sanctuary to pray.
Wow.
And there are probably our viewers, listeners today who are discouraged by the state of God's church.
God's church.
Saying there's all kinds of corruption, there's all kinds of hypocrisy going on there. Mm-hmm. This is an encouragement to look to God and to pray despite what you see happening in the church.
Amen.
God still is able to listen. God still is able to answer.
Oh.
Doesn't matter what the clergy may be doing or the people in the church may be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just like how here that Hannah was being so real with God, right? Mm-hmm. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall be come upon his head. And I just love that, you know, just, you know, and I know us various, you know, here and people are watching, you know, we're all going through some type of trial,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether it be different, whether it be, you know, finance, whether it be, you know, marital, whatever it may be, we're all going through some sense of, you know, sorrow or trial or loss or grief. But then just always remember that we can always come to God with a sense of realness and be like, mm-hmm. Lord, I'm going through this mm-hmm. and I hate what I'm going through. But listen, if you get me through this, I promise you, I will follow you all the days of my life. And in this case, she wanted to dedicate her son to the Lord if God yeah. forgives the Lord to her, you know, the child to her.
I mean, in verse yeah. 10, it seems like her prayer is a weeping session.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's
she's
right.
in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. So she's like blurting out these words between her sobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of real, authentic that's prayer right. that that's she right. offers to God. And God takes that kind
that's
of prayer.
Right.
Yeah.
Our prayers that are covered in tears.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God takes us.
Come on
right.
now.
And I'm looking at this. Hannah had failed to find comfort in everyone around her, right? Mm. Her husband is like, why are you not eating? Why are you not drinking? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So it's like, she's looking around for comfort. She can't find it.
Mm.
So she takes her bitterness, her anguish, her tears to the Lord.
That's right.
And she's weeping. And we were speaking last episode about Daniel and how he took his cares to the Lord, you know, and God cares so much that Hannah has that confidence that nobody can understand my pain better than God.
Mm-hmm.
God has lived my experience.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to point out how specific she is, you know, mm-hmm. she did not just pray for a child. She said, give me a male child. Right. And I've gotten some flack back. I know I share with my husband. I'm like, when I pray to the Lord, I want to be specific. You know, that's I'm right. going to make a list and check it off, you know, especially right. when I was looking for a spouse, I was like, and a lot of people want to come against women for, you know, making a list, but there's power in being specific with the Lord.
Yes, yeah.
How would you know it's God who answered it? Like there's certain things that are just so particular to you mm-hmm. that when God answers, like the power of God is in the small things, you know, mm-hmm. like God sees that I care about this little tiny thing.
That's right.
And when God answers it, there's more room for him to give glory. So like a practical lesson from this is be specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is one of these prayers that is not husband approved.
Yeah.
my wife has prayed some prayers that were not husband approved. And but you know that those were some of the prayers that God did some of the most amazing things. One time I was living in Michigan and I had been offered a job in the state of Washington and I had accepted the job and we were moving within a few weeks.
Yeah.
But then things started going terrible with the destination we were moving to, or there was at least some difficult questions. And one time on a Monday morning, I remember, because our house had been on the market for mm-hmm. 4 weeks and mm-hmm. nobody had looked at our house. One mm-hmm. person looked, there were no offer. And on a Monday morning, right before I'm zooming off to work, my wife, her name is Ruthie, and she prays, Lord, if you want us to move to Washington, help us to get an offer on the house this week. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Why are you putting a God in a box like that? We are moving to Washington. Yeah. We've already committed. But after the prayer, I didn't want to rebuke her because I didn't want to be like the doubting husband. So I just zipped my mouth. And that Friday, we got an offer on the house. And the house sold.
Wow.
And the questions around my job offer, they weren't completely resolved yet. But I'm like, you know, God just gave a powerful, miraculous
specific.
Answer to prayer
mm-hmm.
that was specific, not husband approved
yeah.
by my wife, and God granted it.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm not worrying about my job. It's going to be worked out. And
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
And God worked.
Yeah. I just have a quick story to share. I'll be remiss if I don't share. I'll be quick
yeah.
about specific prayers. I remember I had moved to Maryland from Canada. And I did not know Maryland rent, the housing market was just, everything was just expensive. I didn't know a soul here. And I remember I was renting a room that was about 2 hours on a bus ride to where I was going to school. And I was sharing, I was in somebody's house renting a room in their house. And it was not the most comfortable situation. And I was sitting in my room and I was very miserable. And those were the days I used to journal. And I was like, you know what, Lord, this is exactly what I need. I need an apartment that's by myself. I'm not going to be sharing. Okay, I'm tired of sharing a bathroom, please. I need it to be close to school, you know, that I can walk back and forth because my classes were at night and it was getting dangerous to travel at night by bus. And I need the rent to be less than $600. You know, if you live in Maryland in the DMV area, you know that's nearly impossible to find. When I tell you God made it work, I found an apartment right across the school.
For $599, huh?
Yeah, it was $518. $518.
Under $600.
Yeah, and I always remember that story and I share with people because I'm like, only God knows the specific things we need. Mm-hmm. And he's inviting us to come into that place. Like, what do you need? You know,
right,
sometimes
right.
It may take a little bit longer, you know, for that to play out. But then it encourages us to draw closer and draw nearer to him and really get to the heart of God to have that trust in him.
I would say, you know, Hannah's prayer, it's so strange that the history of the kings of Israel begins with a barren woman.
Hmm.
Hannah is the grandmother of Israel's royal line. She is, if you count Samuel as sort of an adopted father for David,
mm-hmm.
Hannah is the grandmother who made Israel's kingly line possible. This is the power of prayer. This is the power of a communication with God, of going to God in prayer.
Persistent prayer.
Mm-hmm. Of deep, heartfelt, genuine crying out to God.
Mm-hmm.
All this said, I will say that there's probably someone listening or watching right now who is on this side of Hannah's experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this isn't to minimize that prayer sometimes does go unanswered,
yeah.
That barren wombs stay barren.
Mm-hmm.
The promise of Scripture, the grand arc of Scripture, is that the dead barrenness that we experience, there are some barrenness, there's some death that can only be fixed with a resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the promise God offers to us, that there is a resurrection possible now, like Hannah experienced, but there are some debts that will only be resolved in life at a final resurrection, where Jesus puts the world to rights.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
And what I love about Hannah here, I believe this is the reason why Jesus, you know, why God answered her prayers, is because it's the sincerity in her prayers. You know, most people ask me, brother, as it relates to, you know, practical prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the best way to pray? How do you pray, you know, that God will answer my prayers and things like that? And I'd always just tell them, listen, the best prayer is the sincere prayer.
Yeah.
You know, however, you know, whether it be a crying, whether it be just one sentence or a couple of sentences, doesn't matter. If it's sincere, God will answer those
mm-hmm.
prayers. And I believe that is a reason we will find out why God answered her prayers.
Yeah, and the need to be honest with God. You know, I'm reminded in my own life experience, I was asking God for something, right? And I'd come to the Lord, be like, God, I know you're mighty, you're powerful. God didn't give me the thing I was praying for.
Yes.
And I was very angry, you know, but then I'll talk to the Lord, like, I know you know what you're doing, and et cetera. And then to my friends, I'll be like, I just can't believe, like, I would pray and have faith in God. So there was a dichotomy here. I was being raw and transparent with my friends, but I was not bringing that to the Lord.
Mm.
And while I was talking to my friend on the phone, like, the Holy Spirit convicted me. He's like, you haven't told me this.
Mm.
You're here telling somebody else how you really feel about the thing that happened. And to what you're saying, like, God wants to hear our honest feelings, you
Amen.
Know, like being sincere and laying all that out to him. And this is a lesson we can learn from Hannah. And you're saying, like, there are a lot of women now that deal with this very issue, you
mm-hmm.
know, and God has taken the time to put this here to really show that he sees and he knows. and he can answer this prayer. And sometimes he may say no. Sometimes he may tell you, like, Hannah, wait. Yeah. We have a bunch of matriarchs in the Bible who were barren for a long period of time. Mm. And we don't have an answer as to why their husbands had to pray until they had kids, or sometimes they only had one kid, you know, and other people had like six, you know. Yeah. But God has put here in his word that that he sees and he hears and he knows.
Yeah. And I love how she turned into persistent prayer and faith still, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know some, I don't know if y'all know some, but I know some women now as friends that is barren, and but they took matters into their own hands, if you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, but her, you know, what she did was she didn't take matters in her own hands, but rather she prayed about it.
Yes.
And with faith as well. Because who was that in the Bible? Was it Sarah? Mm-hmm. Right? When she took matters in her own hands, she's like, hey, why don't you have a baby with our
Hagar. Yeah,
exactly, right? Yeah. So it's just like, we don't want to do that. But here in Hannah's case, she didn't take matters into her own hands, but she took matters into God's hands, and she still prayed for it.
Mm-hmm. We want to affirm that the Lord works through medical science, and the Lord works through medical interventions, and those are a way of the Lord answering prayer. What we do want to say is that sometimes those prayers do go unanswered, even with all the help that science can bring us. And therein is a experience to trust in the Lord, to weep, to lament, and to hold on to the Lord and find that our ultimate deliverance from death and barrenness comes from the Son of David. Mm-hmm. You know, that he alone will bring true healing to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another lesson we can learn from this story is that God hears our silent prayers. Her lips were moving. Her boldness was, I don't know, she wasn't shouting her prayers for sure. But her lips were moving, and God can hear those silent prayers in our minds. When we don't even have the voice to put to our prayers, God can still hear. Yeah. And that's very encouraging. Mm. So what about these unanswered prayers? Did everybody in the Bible, Hannah had her prayer answered. In verse 20, she's given a son. Mm-hmm. But we need to recognize there are stories in the Bible where the son was never given or the prayer was never answered, right?
Mm. Answer was no. Mm-hmm.
The answer was no.
Yeah.
So it can be yes, it can be wait, it can be no. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if any of you have any examples. I'd like to share the example of Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was, a hero of the New Testament, prolific author of the New Testament. And this faithful man of God had a prayer that was not answered, or the answer was no. Mm-hmm. And so when Jesus prayed, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Mm-hmm. Jesus had an unanswered prayer too, that this cup would pass from me when he was entering into the Garden of Gethsemane. So if Jesus had a prayer, a response that was negative, that was no, and Paul did, we have to be open to the fact that God may give us that answer sometimes as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. Well, I'll start in verse 7. Paul writes, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. So there was some metaphorical thorn in the flesh that he had. In other places, he wrote about blindness and vision problems, which some believe this to be. And whatever this metaphor of the thorn was referring to, Paul asked that it be removed. It was a weakness. It was an infirmity. And God, he heard Jesus say to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. And so Paul accepted that sickness or that infirmity. Mm-hmm. So how do we respond when we're not granted our petitions that we ask for?
Yeah, well for me, you know, looking at the Ebenezers, right? The past blessings and trials that God, the past mountains that God has given to us. You know, when we would pray for something, like for example, for me, you know, I remember before my wife, and I know y'all met her, she's a blessing, isn't she?
Amen.
But anyway, you know, well, before her, I had an ex-girlfriend that, you know, I met at the club. We both got baptized together and we were both going to do ministry together. And I was like, man, this is it. You know, this is it for me, right? But then 5 years into the relationship, we were about to get married. Boom, she just gets up and leaves mm-hmm. me. So I was like, Lord, what in the world? Why did you allow this to happen? Like, I thought we were going to get into ministry together. I thought this was it. I prayed about this. And, you know, why did you allow this to happen? I mean, mm-hmm. if any of you, you know, if you've experienced heartbreak, there's nothing like it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Especially the viewers I know that's out there that's listening or watching. When you have a heartbreak, you can't explain the feeling. So I was praying. I'm like, God, why did you allow this to happen? Right? Why did you allow this to happen? I was just heartbroken. And then a year or a couple of years later, that's then when I met my wife. Mm. And then it was only then that I was like, wow, Lord, now I understand why you allowed that to happen. Because if you didn't allow that to happen, I would have never met my beautiful, wonderful wife today. Mm-hmm. So it's just looking at the past and looking at like how God has led you in the past is how he would lead you moving forward. And trusting and believing that he knows the end from the beginning. Sometimes when we pray for something, we don't know that it's not the best for us. But mm-hmm. God actually has, in turn, he says no because he has something better for us.
Mm-hmm. But in the middle of it, you don't see it.
You
because
do not.
In the middle of it, all you're asking is why? Why
exactly.
me? Why now? Why this? Mm-hmm. But God is still present there. And when we get past it, we can look back and see that God had a grand purpose to
That's
it.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
There are times when we are actively living in opposition to God's will. And that is a time of reflection for us. Proverbs 28 tells us to be mindful of sin and consider that as an possibility of unanswered prayer as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Proverbs 28:9, he who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there are conditions to prayers. We could go further into that. You can read our Bible studies on inversebible.org and read other verses about this topic so that you can sharpen your skills for prayer, draw closer to God in prayer, learn the practical spiritual disciplines of prayer. And whether you're experiencing a time of great sorrow in your life right now or of great joy and success, whatever the season be, we invite you to draw close to God in prayer, to come to him as a friend, mm-hmm. and to grow in your relationship with him as we continue studying together with each other and with you that are watching. We'll be right back here next week, right here on Inverse. God bless.
You've been listening to Inverse, a dynamic Bible-based conversation led by your host, Joe Reeves. Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. While there, join us, like us, heart us, give us a thumbs up. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Until next time, this is Inverse.